Hey, hey, hey!
Yo!
Welcome.
You guys are in trouble tonight.
Oh, yeah? You've been sipping the sauce a little bit?
Three Bud Light Limes.
Oh, man. So what were you at? Because, like, I know you said you were close to your house, but it looked like it was like a whole carnival.
Yeah, I don't know. There was, like, some kind of winter/Christmas festival happening at John's Pass, so there was a bunch of people there, which was pretty cool.
Cool, cool, cool. Welcome, Dalton. Thank you. Thank you for having me once again.
Furry face, everybody.
And we are back. This would be episode 8 now. We are closing in on episode 10, boys. Are you excited? I mean, going strong.
Double digits. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not in followers, but, you know, we're getting there. Couple things I'd like to first I'd like to say a big thank you. I was waiting for you guys. I was watching the tail end of the Dallas Stars Vancouver Canucks game, and I would like to give a big shout out to the Vancouver Canucks for being the worst third period team in the NHL and losing. So thank you very much. Also, I'd like to say that when I went to start recording the podcast, I got a little notification from Anchor. They are now doing their own sponsorship things. So either at the beginning of this one, I don't know where I'm going to put it, but because I have to record it after we're done recording this, they will be starting like a paid sponsorship for like 30-second ad reads.
Oh, look at that.
For Anchor. So
also, oh, first shot of the episode.
Yeah. Honestly, if we ever improve our audio, I think we have to like manually kick Chris out because it's become such a staple at this point.
Yeah, exactly. But automatically kick him every couple minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But what, like I was saying, Anchor is now doing 30-second paid sponsorships for some ad reads. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Gonna be breaking in that cash, you know?
Whoa. Yeah.
Finally afford that bus trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Down here? Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Come down to the beach.
All right,
bruh,
boys.
It's snowing outside right now, so I'm wishing.
Wow. It got like, it hit like, I think like the low this week, at least where I was like 55, and people were like outside in like Uggs and jackets, and like they were pulling their beanies and their toques on.
Can you put that in Canadian?
So they're pulling on their boots, eh? And their toques, eh?
I meant more the 55-degree part, but yeah, that works too.
Oh, 55 degrees. Chris.
14, I think.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. Cool. Just to rub it in everyone's face up north.
Dude, people were wearing parkas, and that's not a lie.
Yeah, it was like I seriously walked into school wearing like a McDavid t-shirt and jeans, and there were people in there with like you know, like those like cool trendy like knee-length black like wool jackets.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
there were people with that and like gloves on. I was like, you would put gloves on?
Like FEMA was set up outside of our like site. It was so bad.
Exactly. Well, boys, there was a lot of hockey this week. Interesting week for both teams, I'd say. First off, I'd like to give another Dalton won again. So Dalton now is ahead 3-1-0.
So good.
I am doing horribly.
It's just so easy.
But we'll start with the first game. Actually, right after we recorded the podcast, the Blues and St. Louis play. Wait, that is the same team. The Jets and the Blues played, and Line A just came in, burned and pillaged, razed to the ground, salted the fields. 5 goals, unreal.
Made someone a millionaire that night.
No, there was no Safeway. Safeway score and win.
What? There's no
Safeway.
Yeah,
no, there was.
Oh, there was.
No, there was.
Oh.
A fellow named Chris Handley or something. I won $1 million. Yeah.
Wow. I was little, I was a little sad because I thought McDavid was gonna do it first. But you know what? It's fine. And Line A was named first star of the month. I think I saw the stat was like he had like eight like like 12 or like 18 goals in this month and like 8 games or something like that. Like something stupid.
Yeah, 18 goals, 12 games, 1 assist.
1 assist. 3
countries. 1 assist.
Yeah, and 3 countries. That's right, because they started the month in Finland.
Can I say something about Patrick Laine, though?
One sec. I'm just going to precursor you real quick. I think this proves that Laine is actually better than McDavid, 100%, and I believe that.
Don't get too mad. He's definitely better than Austin Matthews.
Ooh. Those are fight words.
They are.
Yeah, no kidding, right? But no, I honestly feel like there is still another level to Patrick Laine's game. I mean, I feel like, you know, St. Louis has got some pretty bad goaltending, but there's no doubt anybody who's watched Patrick Laine play knows that he can, you know, score it well almost. But he is really starting to develop the other facets of his game. So, like, his game along the wall, you know, his rushing, scoring off the rush, passing. I just feel like there's a lot more that he's going to, you know, say about his game before it's all said and done. This kid's only 20 years old.
Yeah, he's scored 100 goals. He's already the fourth youngest, I believe.
Correct.
Fourth youngest to score 100 goals. Speaking of bad goaltending, Brossoit did let's say he should never leave the crease.
Oh my gosh.
Cuz he had the one goal that was a direct giveaway, but I feel like every time he handled the puck, Jets Nation collectively went,
my butt still clenched.
Can you please make that sound again? That was amazing.
Oh, you want that sound? Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right, so Dalton got that one. I mean, it was kind of hard because I believe they won 8-3. Chris said a 2-0 win with a Brossoit shutout. That did not happen. I said a 3-2 win, and then Dalton said a 4-1 win. So, I mean, I had to give it to Dalton, but to be fair, none of us were very close.
Feels so good to be right.
Though, Dalton, you did call a Patrick Laine hat trick in this game. No, you didn't. Never mind. Just kidding.
I didn't think I was that good.
You called a Patrick Laine hat trick in the week. It didn't happen, though. I will give you a shout out. You called a Patrick Laine hattie on the night that Nick Ehlers had a hattie. But we will get there. Then the Oilers played LA. This was another game I went to bed very angry.
Yeah, that was a whew. It's a good thing we played him twice this week. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. And the thing is, like, I was joking, because one of the Oilers Nation writers, Bag Milk, he does, like, a live stream after every game. When the Oilers win, he drinks. When they lose, he eats a can of beets. He hates himself. I was joking with him. I was like, Talbot will never get his 100th win as an Oiler, because he's been sitting at 99 for the last 6 games, and he has lost all 6. He looked bad. There was a few – I mean, there wasn't a lot where I was like, oh, you have to save that. There was a few where I've been like, I would have liked him to save that. But if he hadn't played as well as he did the first period, it could have gotten way out of hand.
Yeah, that's not really a game you can blame on him, right? He could have stolen you that game, but at the same time, he didn't lose you that game.
Yeah, the team did not look good. It was just a gross game. Moving on. I had to give that one to none of us, because we all predicted the Oilers beating LA, and that it didn't happen.
Ooh.
Yes. Then the Pittsburgh Penguins showed up in Winnipeg, and Chris, Dustin Byfuglien and Jamie Oleksiak, heaviest collision possible in hockey happened. That was wild. Like, I felt it from here.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
Are you a little upset that he was able to come back and play in that game when he literally looked like he was out of it on the ice?
Well, I mean, the NHL is a joke. I mean, we all know that the officiating is a joke, and player safety, the Department of Player Safety, is an absolute joke. I'm sorry, I'm using the same word over and over again, but what else can I say? I mean, like, when a player's wobbling like that, how can they come back to a game? How is that possible? They've obviously been concussed. Their legs aren't responding to their brain's wishes. Like, there's a problem there. You know, obviously, Dustin was held out of the next game, even though he passed the concussion protocol. There's no way he should have been allowed to come back to that game. I don't know. They've got to change something, because you don't know what kind of damage could be done to a player if they're allowed to play when they've obviously had a brain injury. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but, and then directly after the game, he was put on injury reserve.
Exactly. Because he developed concussion. Well, I shouldn't say that, because they're also saying he had the flu. So, you know, is it the flu? Is it concussion symptoms? We don't.
Oh, second shot of the episode. We should have warned everyone first as soon as Chris started that second rant, because he got through the first rant earlier through completely fine, and then he started the second rant, and I did not think we were going to be as lucky. But
yeah, every rant, like, it's a coin flip, you know?
Yeah, for real. But to kind of pick up where he left off, like so first off, Dustin Byfuglien is the heaviest guy in the NHL. Jamie Oleksiak is actually 5 pounds heavier than Zdeno Chara. So, and
excuse
I was...
Excuse me?
Yeah,
Wow.
So that is the collision between the two of them was the heaviest possible hit possible in today's NHL. And I saw a tweet that was pretty crazy. If they were both traveling at about 15 kilometers, the energy, like the kinetic energy, if you could like tap into that, that would be able to power a 40 watt light bulb for 2 minutes.
Oh, this feels like a physics question, dude.
But I don't know how the math works. Don't ask me how it works. I read a tweet. I'm taking it at its word, which is
if
always
Big Buff
smart.
Is on a train going 15 kilometers an hour.
the Pittsburgh ended up winning that game, Chris. I mean, any other thoughts other than the concussion and all that?
Well, I mean, Connor Hellebuck sucks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Connor. He's on my freaking team.
Question is was his season last year an outlier, or is this just a dip in the road? I mean, you want to say no, because he was so technically sound last year, like, but his mental aspect of his game is not there this year, and I don't know if he did something super different in the off season, but he's not the same player as he was last year. So, you know, the hopes for the Jets doing any damage in the playoffs firmly rest on him.
Hmm. Yeah. I almost wonder if it's the fatigue issue with him, because it's last year's season was his first season being a full time starting goaltender, right?
Oh, he's developing Talbot syndrome.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, Rossois has already played more games than any backup did for the Jets last year. So he's playing again tonight. Thanks, by the way, for like keeping away from my game. I'll get over it. But yeah, I don't know. It's time will tell, but I am starting to get really nervous about it. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, you guys are lucky, because I feel like you kind of are in the same tier as the Lightning. The Lightning, Vasilevskiy's been hurt for a while, and Domingue is not a, in my opinion, Domingue is not a good goalie. But his record right now is he's like 7-3-1 or something like that. Like, he's still winning games just because the Lightning are so good, and that's the same sort of thing that's happening with like Brassois in St. Louis. Like, if Laine hadn't scored those 5 goals, that's a 3-3 game. And because Brassois blew it on a few of the goals. Same with a couple of the games later in the week with the Jets. Like, Hellebuck, and they're still winning games. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you guys are kind of in that spot where you know you can score your way out of problems.
Yeah, they're good enough that they don't need Hellebuck to be Hellebuck in order to make the playoffs, at least.
Exactly. He can post like a 900 save percentage, and they can still win the game. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all of a sudden the playoffs hit, that's not going to be acceptable anymore. Mm-hmm. So you know, basically hope this is a little bit of a cold streak and he recovers by the time hockey really starts mattering again.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Moving on to a goaltender that is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, the Dallas Stars, Wieland Edmonton, and Koskinen, 1-0 shutout.
Koskinen is my favorite goaltender ever.
Real quick, actually, I have to get. I gave myself the win on the in the St. Louis game. You both predicted Jets winning. I predicted the Pens winning 4-2, and they won 4-3. So go me.
Pretty close.
Still can't win a week though. There were some moments in the Stars game, especially where it's 1-0. The Oilers have been playing pretty well the whole game. And then Jamie Benn gets the puck directly in the slot, like 5 feet away from Koskinen, and 2 seconds left. And I was about to scream.
Yeah.
And Koskinen shut the door.
I'm a little sad about this game because I ended up missing the third and it was overtime, right? This one?
Yep.
Yeah. Missed the third and overtime because of my own hockey, sadly.
You know what? When it's your own hockey, though, it's excusable.
Yeah, but, you know, of course I went back and watched the overtime again because you had to.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of that overtime, McDavid, goal or no goal? It's a goal! Chris, what do you think?
Oh, 100% a goal.
Okay, so actually, I'm actually on the fence now because when it happened and they showed the overhead, like, inside net, I was like, goal. That's a goal, 100%. Though, if you go on Nick Kiprios' Instagram, there's like a really slowed down video that shows the puck not going over the line. And so now it's also Nick Kiprios. So when I see that, I'm like, I don't know how much I want to trust you.
he doctored it somehow.
I feel like he's just got one of those faces.
Yeah.
And so I'm on the fence. I wanted it to be a goal, but then also I'm glad that it wasn't a goal because Oscar Klefbom scores his first of the season. So, I mean, and I feel like that will help more than Connor scoring the goal, to be honest. So,
and it was a freaking beauty.
Oh, well, so first off, it's so funny because people are like, oh, McDavid's so fast. And then Draisaitl sometimes just gets his feet going. And you're like, yeah. Oh, wow, Draisaitl's got wheels.
Yeah, and he's so strong, too. He can just protect that puck so well.
Yeah. He fended him off, and then him and McDavid passing is just set to 100. Like, they got auto-aim on their passes.
Yeah, for Draisaitl, if it's not a backhand saucer for him, he's sad. He's mad. It has to be a backhand saucer.
Well, like, so on this one, it was the forehand sauce, but he put it perfectly between the two stars, and then Klefbom is not going to miss. So one thing that really made me frustrated is Bishop was hurt and they started freaking 5'8" Anton Khudobin and we made him look like a stud.
Yeah, naturally, because it always is.
God. Anyway, I actually caught none of the next game. Shout out to Dalton. You called a 4-0 win. It was a 1-0 win with the Koskinen shutout, so extra points.
I'll take it.
Look at you go. So Chris, I caught none of this game. This was kind of one of the games that I actually don't remember any of it. Like it just kind of breezed by for me. But the Jets beat the Hawks 6-5.
He's a barn burner.
Yeah, and a bit of a barn burner. And I believe I don't know where I was going with that, to be honest.
No idea either.
So I mean, Chris, what did you see in the game?
Well, I mean, the Jets dressed a 30-year-old guy who's had seven games of NHL experience. So that says a lot, Cam Schilling. And then also Sammy Niku, who I don't know if you guys saw his post game, but it was the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my life. He was like, I played like dog shit. I'm total dog shit. I suck at life.
So it's basically what I say whenever we get done with our Tuesday games. I just get to the locker room and be like, oh, man, that was horrible. I'm horrible. Why am I here?
But I will say 100% accurate assessment of his play because he was bad. I mean, the things that make Sammy Niku good and dynamic, he was not doing, which is like pushing the play, skating, having offensive opportunities. None of that was present. But all of the things that make Sammy Niku a bad defenseman were front and center. So he tried to force a play across his own blue line. He turned the puck over. He sauntered back to the front of his own net and basically let his check score a goal. Then he, you know, went for a puck retrieval in our zone, basically just stood there, let the check come to him and stripped the puck from him and score. So, I mean, he was not good. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he brings to the game, you know, the next game. But it's got to be a lot better. I mean, me and some IQ say he needs more time in the AHL to develop the defensive side of his game, but we'll see if he, you know, if he can find that part of his game, because it was not there against the Hawks.
So how much of that do you feel is nerves? Because was this his first NHL game? Like, was this his first NHL debut?
Well, I mean, let's be fair. No, he actually scored in his debut last year.
Oh, okay.
But he was actually on the in the press box for 10 games. So he has not played for 10 games. So,
third shot of the episode. That is a long time, though, for someone to stay out, and you're just expecting him to jump right back in.
No, no. Yeah, for sure. Especially a young kid. Like he's saying, I feel like Ethan Bear is better, but I feel like they're in the same kind of situation. Like, the organization is real, like, high on them. They really believe in the player that they can be. But
it's going to take some time to get
there. It's going to take some time. And I feel, and you know, defensemen take time. Sammy Niku has God flow, so I hope to see him in the show eventually.
on the all-hair team, of course.
On the all-hair team, for sure.
Centered by Brock Besser. Oh, wait, no, right wing by Brock Besser.
Right wing by Brock Besser, centered by Connor McDavid.
Oh, of course, naturally. Is another shot, by the way.
Yes, yes, for real. Welcome back, Chris. We were talking about Sammy Niku's God flow, but we were also agreeing with you. I mean, he's a defenseman. He's gonna take it's gonna take time for him to kind of get where he needs to be.
The reason Sammy Niku has such a flow is to take away from that face. why are his eyes in different directions? That's what I wanted.
He's trying to scan the ice.
Defenseman. He's looking at two different things at once.
This was the same game that Nick Ehlers had a hattie. Thank God I decided to hold on to him at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I was gonna pick him up once he dropped him, but anyways, that's fine.
Get out of here.
He's feeling it. He's got that lateral movement. He's got the agility. He's making that move to the middle of the ice to get a shot away. Like, man, he absolutely destroyed Corey Crawford. There was no chance.
Well, actually, I mean, to be, once you guys made that move of moving Ehlers off of the line A line and moving him up with Scheifele and Wheeler and then Connor down, your offense has just ignited. Like, those first couple episodes we did, we were like, where is Ehlers and line A? And then immediately they made that decision, and now line A is shooting 5 goals in a game, and Nick Ehlers is having hatties, and your top two lines are just clicking.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they tried to force a square peg into a round hole because Laine and Ehlers are friends. But I think once they realized that there just was no chemistry there, that was the tonic, getting Ehlers on that line with Little and getting Ehlers on the line with Scheifele and Wheeler, and getting Connor down with Little and Laine. That was definitely a great move.
Yeah, yep. All right. So then moving on, the last game, the, LA Kings show up in Edmonton this time. And, I was actually scared. So I actually missed, all of this game. Cause I was actually, I had to drive, my girlfriend down to Tampa for, she had like a doctor's appointment. And so I was actually in town and I had a couple of my old team had a game and I texted them. I was like, hey, can I play? And big self plug. We won the first game 3-2 in a shootout. I scored the only shootout goal on a beautiful little backhand forehand waiting the goalie out.
Oh, my man. Did you go Bardowski, though?
Always Bardowski.
Always Bardowski.
I said.
And then we won the second game. We actually went down 2-0 in the first period in the second game. And then leading the charge by yours truly, I had a 4-point night in that game, 2 goals, 2 assists. We ended up winning 6-2.
Fuck, man. Draft this kid in the NHL already.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So I actually missed most of this last LA game. And so the rink has horrible service. And shout out to the NHL because they have the worst website and app ever. Yeah. I opened the NHL app as soon as I got outside because there's no service in the rink. And I get to my car and I look at it and I'm like, we lost 5-2 to LA again? And then I was like, wait, that's the same game from the last game we played. So I clicked on the scores and it said there was no games. And I was like, what? So then I opened up the internet and I went to the NHL and it was like, there's no games today. And I'm like, and then I go online, like, is there no, am I tripping? And so, but no, just the NHL was completely down and said there were no games for like the rest of the week. Like, I couldn't even watch the game or listen to the game. It was horrible.
Yeah, but, I've seen a lot of complaints about that, actually.
Yeah, it went down for no reason. It said there was no games scheduled for, like, the next 5 days in a row. You couldn't find it anywhere. So I'm just sitting here, like, I hope they're winning. I ended up getting home and turning it on, and I actually caught the last goal. So I did see a little bit of the game. Tied 2-2, and then a little Nuge with a little cheeky spinorama backhand on the power play to a cleft bomb, and Johnny Quick is bad.
Yeah, 2 minutes left. Well, and you see the two screens there? Both Kings players.
Yeah. Good defense.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, it's great to see that Clefbaum's finally starting to take some shots on that power play.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, Nuge had done that. He skates down that left side he's a right-handed shot.
No, lefty.
So he skates down the left side as left-handed shot and does the little cheeky just backwards thing and just lets Clefbaum step into it.
Yeah, right into his wheelhouse, and man, that's the Clefbaum that we're used to seeing. That was great.
And so it doesn't get talked about. Clefbaum doesn't put up a lot of points, and we complain about him a lot. But I think he's up to, 13 points now in how many games have we played? 26.
Like, yeah. He has 84 shots.
So that's pretty high, actually.
Yeah, it's one of the highest in the league. It's insane how many shots he has.
I mean, good for him. And it's good to see him start going in.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you keep shooting them, eventually they'll start going in.
Yeah, he's got a rocket. Everyone's like, oh man, I can't wait for Bouchard to get up because then we'll finally have a big shot from the point. Clefbaum, it's in the name.
Yeah. So nice to see that his shoulder actually healed up right, and it's it's paying off. It's looking good.
Yeah, big shout out to Dalton again. He predicted a 3-2 win, and a 3-2 win it was.
I'm just so good.
All right, boys, moving on to NHL news. I'd like to apologize to our loyal listeners. For last week's episode, I tweeted out from Blue Line South on Twitter that we would be talking about Marco Dano being reclaimed by the Winnipeg Jets, and we never talked about it because I feel like that was the most important news last week. So I'd like to get back around to it. Marco Dano is back with the Jets. Everyone, yay!
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 He's going to lead you to a Stanley Cup.
I honestly do not understand this move at all. I mean, I get it from the, you know, building depth perspective. He's played some games in the NHL. He's not going to kill you if he dresses. But, I mean, when he did dress for the Jets, the line he was on got like less than 5 minutes a game. And, you know, like, let's see what we have, you know, from guys like, you know, Appleton, Lemieux, Patan, you know, these guys that we have to kind of decide whether we're going to actually hold on to or whether we're going to cut them loose instead of a guy who has proven that he can't play on an NHL roster. Like, he's been given 3 opportunities.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's going to lead you to a Stanley Cup, so stop hating, bro.
I actually thought Mark Giordano was going to turn out to be a better player than he ended up being. I remember playing I remember playing NHL 15, and I that's NHL 15 was when the Jets were bad. So I like to when I used to do GM mode, I used to always pick bad teams and rebuild them so like we could win a cup in like 2019 when that was far away.
Always the way to do it.
And so I would pick the Jets, and Mark Giordano was like one of the staples. Like he would grow. He was like an 85 overall winger, and I was like, hell yeah. Has he played yet since he's been reclaimed?
No. Yes. I get the feeling like he's a pothead or something. I don't know what's going on with that guy. He just seems way too casual and laid back. If I was on an NHL roster and I was at risk of like, you know, losing my job and having to go back to Europe, I would play my ass off. When Mark Giordano came to the Jets, he used to bang bodies and actually be aggressive. And somehow he forgot how to do that, and he's never done that since. Mason Appleton will dress tonight instead of Mark Giordano. They scratched Lemieux. They scratched Patan. Why is Dano not getting an opportunity? He's basically nothing more.
Oh, another rant disconnect. We were so number close.
Number five.
Yeah. Though I agree. I mean, Dano, we know he can play at the NHL. Like, he obviously, the reason he isn't out of it yet is because Dano isn't, like, teams are still willing to give Dano a shot. So I still don't see why, like, especially with the Jets, since they're just like, we'll try this rookie or we'll try this guy that hasn't sort of really developed into an NHL player yet. Why wouldn't you put someone in who at least kind of understands the speed of the game?
It's the question of why just keep him on your roster first of all. If you're gonna pick him up, you might as well play him. So I'm a little confused from that, from the Jets perspective. But
so you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks. Chris can confirm 100% true. Mark Giordano pothead.
I'm gonna get sued.
Yeah. And actually, to kind of touch on, another thing, Nick Batan is one of those players I also love to have because he always grew to be such a good player in NHL 15, 16. He played on Team Canada with McDavid in the World Juniors that year. He's from the 2015 draft. He looked like he was supposed to be good and just never really got it going.
I mean, he's a turd.
Chris is right to the point. Chris is not afraid.
Some anger coming out right now.
It's just, you know, I rail against this shiny toy syndrome. You guys have been through it with the Oilers many times. Guys who, you know, got draft pedigree, who did well in junior, who even did well in the AHL. And just could never make that next step into the NHL. Every time I see Nick Petan play, I just see him being like just physically imposed upon by other players and just not being able to execute and just, you know, really project his skill into an NHL role. And I see more of that. He's a healthy scratch again tonight. I just it's time to move on.
Well, speaking of people that basically fit that exact description, you always picked up Zykov.
Yeah, what a segue. A1 segue.
Shiny new toy syndrome.
Oilers claim Valentin Zykov off waivers from the Carolina Hurricanes. He led the AHL in scoring last season.
He's drafted pretty high, I think 36th overall. Yeah, 37th, sorry.
37th overall. Never really got a good chance in Carolina. I'm predicting how many games does it take till we see McDavid playing Zykov?
Well, it seems like Zykov is a lot of comparisons I've been seeing have been comparing him to Ryan Smith. So basically, I'm saying,
fill my heart.
I know. It's hard to keep the hype down. You saw that with this shiny new toy.
Cheered up.
Yeah, this shiny new toy. He's going to put up 50 goals on McDavid's wing. It's going to take him 3 games to get there. It's easy. but realistically, I see him probably slotting in on that fourth line, probably in the next couple of games, I'd expect.
I actually want to touch on that because I was like, oh, he's going to go on the third line. But the third line is never being broken up, and they're also never going to score again of Lucic, yep. Cassian, and Bronziak.
No one's going to score for us. No one's going to score for them. It's great.
Exactly. But Hitchcock said we're basically running two third lines, mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I guess I agree with. I could argue that the third line, the identity line, is the fourth line because it's an absolute shit show.
Yeah. Grindy line, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely wins on the grit charts.
Yeah, but they're getting played like a third line, though. So
it's true. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with Zaitkov. I am wildly optimistic, as, you know, every mm-hmm. rational fan is.
Yeah.
Did
you see, though, that Ratty is slotting back in tonight?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
On third slash fourth line.
Yeah.
Poor little Ty Ratty.
Yeah. Finally getting a shot again.
Mm-hmm. So when Hitchcock was signed and brought in, we all made a prediction of who would benefit the most from Hitchcock becoming the head coach. I know who will benefit the least. Ty Ratty.
Yeah. Ty Ratty. Well, I mean, how long is Ty Ratty going to be on this roster still, too, is the next question.
Yeah, especially if Zaitkov comes in and bangs around. And honestly, I was listening to Hitchcock press conference. He was saying oh, his advanced analytics look good. I was like, Hitchcock, you are saying everything I need to hear.
Yeah, well, especially with Reeder coming back hopefully sometime soon, there's really Ty Ratty's gonna be the odd man out real fast.
Ty Ratty's gone. I mean, so here's my question is, do you think we can get anything of value, like maybe trying to trade him?
I don't know if he gets picked up, if the Oilers even put him on waivers.
Ooh. See, because I was like, did McDavid in that last little stint and in the preseason rejuvenate his career just enough that maybe we could squeak like a second round pick from someone?
If they had kept playing him with McDavid and he, or on the flip side, if he had gone down to the second line like he did, or the third line, and then kept producing at all, then you probably see the Oilers being able to flip him for a pick or something like that. But the fact that he gets kept moving down in the lineup over and over again and still not producing at all really makes you think that he's a good complementary player to McDavid, and that's really all he is. So I don't think the Oilers are really going to get anything for him.
Yeah, I agree. There was a trade this week in NHL. The Chicago Blackhawks and the Arizona Coyotes are basically each other's respected farm teams. The Coyotes trade Dylan Strom, notable third overall Dylan mm-hmm. Strom for and Brandon Perlini for Nick Schmaltz.
This is a interesting trade.
Yeah, initial thoughts, boys?
If this trade took place in 2015, the Blackhawks won. I really don't know. It's so close to being an even trade. Because if you look at potential-wise, I still think Dylan Strome has it in him to be that number one center in the NHL. But every game that goes by that he isn't looking like that really is just another, you know, it's a mark against him.
Yeah.
Whereas Smolch is on an already bona fide top six player who can slot right in right away.
And play center.
Exactly. So it's – I think Arizona wins this trade, but it's kind of close.
Arizona wins the trade now.
Yeah.
In 2 years from now, we'll see.
Yeah. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Fuck the Coyotes.
Oh, how dare you? They're one of my favorite teams.
Every episode, we alienate a new fan base.
Well, can I also say, fuck you too, Mike?
Ah! I'm alienated.
No,
seriously. This podcast is coming off the rails.
Seriously, though. Yeah, I just think, I don't know. It's one of those things where you're just like moving around the deck chairs on the Titanic. Like, another team is doing anything. Do they have a secret? Do they know, like, I don't know. I really don't know what's going to end up happening. Obviously, if they can find a way to figure out why Strom hasn't realized his potential, they can end up having a real gem there. But other than that, I don't know. I just think it's one of those moves that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think this could end up being great for the Blackhawks, and I think it might also be a necessary trade from them, because really, I think they're looking at Dylan Strome as the, you know, the Jonathan Toews replacement once he ends up really starting to fall off, and then hoping he can maybe finish that up.
So then I actually kind of agree, because Strome and DeBrincat played together in Erie and tore it up. So actually kind of with your thinking of Strome trying to kind of be groomed by maybe Jonathan Toews to eventually take his place or whatever, then maybe DeBrincat starts looking to be more of the Patrick Kane. But that's obviously best case scenario for the Blackhawks.
Yeah. And that's like them trying to make a new core out of some players that aren't really who you want to make a new core out of, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, neither one of them is Connor McDavid. Neither one of them is, like, Jack Eichel. Neither one of them is Patrick Kane, for that matter.
Yeah. Though I bet the Coyotes wish they could go back and redraft. Because, quick, Mitch Marner and Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah, that's the 2015 draft is a hard draft to miss that badly in.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Just think if the Coyotes had Rantanen or Marner right now. Wow.
Or even if they won the draft lottery and got McDavid. Or got
no.
Or, like, they were so close to greatness in so many different ways there.
I know, but, oh.
And then they picked Dylan Strome.
Well, boys, there was a GM fired in the NHL this week, and it was not Peter Chiarelli, sadly.
One day.
The Philadelphia Flyers fire their GM, Ron Hextall. They're blowing the wagon up, boys. They're deciding that it is over.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at their record so far, they need to change something. And apparently, part of the reason that the GM was fired there was because he didn't fire the coach.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He was unwilling to fire the coach at that, like, then. So the management decided, or the ownership group decided that, you know, it's time to get rid of him too.
Yeah, I guess if someone's not willing to make that decision, I mean, I don't know. I feel bad for the Flyers. They cannot get a save to save their lives. Calvin Pickard has been horrible. Brian Elliott's been Brian Elliott. Neuwirth has been hurt. They're relying on their fourth and fifth string goalies in Alex Lyon and Anthony Stolarz right now. Wow. Has it looked bad? I don't know. Philly's, since at least I've been alive, Philly's never really scared me.
They're always kind of that tweener team that's like, they could be good, but at the same time, if they're bad, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, yeah. So if we were to make merch and have shirts, I feel like our first shirt would be Chris, your thoughts, with a picture of Chris on the front and maybe like a little air bubble next to his head and like a question mark.
Mm-hmm. And then Chris like starts speaking, and then halfway through his sentence he disconnects.
Yeah, then on the back it's just like Chris like in like blurring out.
Oh, you guys,
are you being cyber bullied again, Chris?
Apparently.
So Hextall out. They have not yet hired. And then the next day they lose 6-0 to the Leafs. And the next day they fire the two assistant general managers. So a lot of turnaround in Philly. Chris, your thoughts?
I think it's ridiculous to fire your GM halfway through a season. I don't think that's the time to do it. I think it's so stupid. Why they did that is beyond me. You stick with who you hired, and you just, I mean, you make that choice at the end of the season.
Yeah. I agree with you there. It's the GM is somebody that you shouldn't fire during the middle of the season, because when you bring in a new guy, what's he going to change now? You're already, you got to wait till the end of the season anyways, right?
Unless his name is Shirelli.
And like, even still, like, the only reason I'm up for firing Shirelli right now is because I'm scared he's going to make a panic move and then end up losing another big trade.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, any other thoughts? I mean, what should, I mean, on paper, I mean, obviously Philly has a huge hole in goaltending, but like their defense is like young and like looks pretty good on paper. Like Gostisbehere, Provorov, Sanheim, Haig, all these guys look like they should be like top four D-men. I mean, they have a pretty solid young growing core. It might be a little bit of growing pains. They have obvious Konechny, Couturier, Giroux, Voracek, JVR, Wayne Simmonds. Like, they have, like, a pretty potent offense. I just don't know what's going on there, to be honest.
All I'm saying is, Philly, if you're looking for a new general manager, I happen to know that I'm available. I once won the Stanley Cup four seasons in a row in NHL. I think it was 07, so, like, call me up.
Get on my level, bro. I got NHL 18, immediately took over the Golden Knights, and won the cup in year one.
Oh. Why doesn't Vegas hire you then?
With Alex Radulov.
Cool. My
yeah.
Man.
And that is Captain Alex Radulov. And
I don't think we'll ever hear those words.
No, probably not. But shout out to Radulov for scoring the game-winning goal in the Canucks game today.
Yeah. He has been so good this season.
I love Radulov. Radulov's one of my most underrated favorite players. He's so excited. His sellies are so hype. I love him. He's an awesome guy. Little small note, Scott Darling put on waivers.
Yeah, kind of a fall from grace for him, eh?
Yeah, and I believe Dalton, didn't you say he was a starting goaltender?
I thought he was. He was once upon a time.
So you're good at predicting scores, maybe not so much on the players.
Hey, I'm fine with players. Goalies, though, those things are voodoo. I have no clue, no matter what.
Fair enough. Though, who would have thought, Chris, if I had told you last year that Curtis McIlhenny would be the starting goaltender and playing unbelievably well for the Carolina Hurricanes this year, would you have believed me?
No. Goalies are crazy. Yeah.
Like, Koskinen right now could make zero saves tonight, and I wouldn't be surprised. And Talbot could, like, go on relief and have a 90-save shutout, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
That's what goalies work, man. That's why you never give him $10.5 million a season.
But it's Carey Price! Okay, so now here's my question with Darling. Do you think Philly picks him up?
I don't think anybody picks him up. That cap hit's too high.
Yeah, the Hurricanes definitely signed him to a pretty bad contract.
Yeah, you know, they saw what he did in Chicago, and he was pretty good in Chicago for his and like, I love the guy's story
as
and, like,
a backup, though.
That is true. It was as a backup. Like, I think it was a case of Phil or Carolina kind of jumping the gun a little bit. I've had a chance to have a new starting goalie, a new franchise goalie, maybe, but
yeah,
never panned out.
Yeah. So then, do we have any predictions on? So, Dolph, you think no one claims him. Chris, do you think anyone picks up Scott Darling? Crickets.
Say that again.
Do you think anyone picks up Scott Darling?
No, not at that cap hit. No, no way.
All right. Fair enough. It sounds like we are all in agreement.
Yeah.
So I guess we can finish off the NHL news with everyone's favorite topic, the Leafs. Yay!
Wow, I'm so glad I get to talk about my favorite team again.
Uh-huh. So first off, Matthew comes back from injury and starts off exactly where he left off. He actually just scored another power play goal against Minnesota tonight, and they're up 1-0. And I think it's funny that he said at the beginning of the year that he wanted to have more assists than goals. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I mean, what are we going to say? I mean, Matthews is really good. I mean, it pains me to say it, but Matthews is really good.
I just can't wait till I have to pay him $14 million a season.
Mm-hmm. And then moving on.
The guy's a fucking bandit.
Yeah, he is. He is a bit of a. He's got a couple glass shoulders in there for sure. Though moving on though, I actually was really looking forward to, because all day at work I was checking Twitter. I was like, William Nylander, has he signed yet? He is not. And at 4:55, 5 minutes before he had to sit out the rest of the season, they signed William Nylander to a 6.9.
Nice.
Yeah. 6-year contract. And the rest of the hockey world cackled in laughter at them signing him.
Man, I was so hoping they're going to trade him.
Yeah, and I actually heard that people were like, oh, trade him to Philly.
There you go. Well, apparently Philly was interested, too.
Well, they have – Toronto's looking for defense, and Philly is looking for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean
– all I'm going to say, though, is Toronto is about to be in cap hell. Like,
yeah.
Next season, they – after – assuming Matthews gets signed for about $12 million, we'll say. That's what I'm going to say, he's about there. They're going to have less than $6.5 million to sign Marner, Kapanen, that one defenseman, man, I forgot his name, that everyone hated last year.
Dermott?
No.
Gardner.
And a couple other guys as well. So basically, they're going to be in cap hell, and they're going to be in cap hell quick.
Yeah, and Kapanen's looked real good.
Yeah.
Marner has looked unreal. Did you see his assist where he broke his stick in the defensive zone, skated past the bench, picked up a new stick on the fly? Quick shout out to the freaking training staff.
No kidding there.
Like, his stick was up and ready to go when he flew by that bench.
Mm-hmm. Like, beautiful pass backdoor from him as well.
Tavares is going to score 50 goals this season, and all of them are just going to be tap-ins.
Yeah, Marner is so good. He, like, after Matthews on the leaf, he is, like, I'm going to say the next best player.
I don't know. At this point, I'd put Marner over Matthews.
Would you? That's maybe.
Listen. Matthews has a great shot. He's real good, real skilled. He's definitely the face of the franchise. But Marner has 30 assists right now. Actually, 31 now on the Matthews power play goal. And I think 27 of them are primary assists.
Yeah. He's going to get freaking paid.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be so screwed. And it's going to be so fun to watch.
No kidding.
So, Chris, 6.9. Nice. For Nylander. Do you think it was, do you think that's a good contract for Nylander?
It's a good contract for Nylander. It's probably not what he wanted. He wants to be paid more than Marner. So I don't know. I don't think that they were signing Nylander to keep him anyway. I think they're going to trade him. If they were smart, they would. I mean, how do you sign Jonathan Tavares knowing your cap situation, your development cycle as the Toronto Maple Leafs, and think you're making a smart move? It doesn't make any sense. It really, you're taking ice time away from your young stars for an older player, unless you're planning on trading one of your young stars for defensive help. It doesn't make any sense. So I think that Nylander, you know, whether they do it this year or in the offseason, they'll probably look to trade him for a really solid top four, early mid 20s guy.
So do you have any bold predictions, any hot takes you want to throw at us of maybe where he gets sent?
Maybe like for a guy like Gostisbehere? I don't know.
Okay. So, all right, Philly. I'm thinking, honestly, it's either Philly or Carolina.
I could see an Ottawa trade too, but Ottawa but that would have to be like Shabbat though.
And Ottawa's not getting rid of Shabbat, especially after they just gave rid of Carlson.
Ottawa does nothing that I expected them to do, so.
Yeah. Actually, quick shout out to Ottawa, though. Erik Karlsson with his return to Ottawa today. Ottawa shells the Sharks 6-2. Karlsson did not leave that on a even plus minus, I can tell you that.
Ottawa won the trade.
Karlsson is one of the most overrated players in the NHL.
Karlsson, though.
Wow. All right, now we got some hot takes getting thrown out.
That is a cool take. That is a normal smart take.
That is the lukewarm water take.
Yes. I have opinions about defensemen. I think defensemen should defend. I think that you can be a good puck. I think you can have good offensive instincts, but I think a guy who just scores a lot as a defenseman should not win the Norris Trophy. I think that's the best overall defenseman. I think they've kind of lost the plot there.
So Chris basically thinks that every NHL team should have six of him on the defensive side, and he should win the Norris every year.
Well, I'm a defensive boy. I don't think I'm a good representation of like what a defenseman should be, but at least I play defense.
Hey, listen, honestly, though, I definitely will say this about you on defense. You get a lot more excited. Like, you don't care about scoring goals. You get a lot more excited with yourself when you break up a rush or give someone a really good outlet pass or whatever. And yeah. I've been trying to play a little bit more defense. I've been like, I still rush the puck a bit too much. I still am like, oh, I need to score. Gotta bury him. But I've definitely been trying to, you know, be happy with maybe not scoring as much and just, you know, trying to pass and break up rushes and stuff like that.
Nah, son, go for the goal every time. When I play defense, I spend more time in the offensive zone than I do skating backwards.
Hey, you know what they say. You don't have to play defense if you're always playing offense.
Yeah. And also no backchecking allowed.
Yes. Exactly. All right, boys. So that's all the NHL news we have. So now we will move on to the quick our weekly picks for the game. So we'll start with a game that's actually going on right now. I don't know, Chris, do you know the current score?
No.
Okay. I won't tell you then. The Winnipeg Jets are playing in New Jersey right now as we speak. Chris, we're going to start with you.
I don't even know what to think anymore. Brossoit's in net, so I'm going to say the Jets are going to win 4-2.
4-2 win. Dalton. Mm.
Well, you know, Brossoit's in net tonight, so I think the Jets are going to lose 4-2.
All right. I don't know if there's really no middle ground on this. I actually see the current score right now. I'm going to say the Jets win 3-1.
Cheater.
Also, Dalton, why don't you fucking shave, you asshole?
See, the issue is this wasn't for, you know, it wasn't for November. It was just because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Both of you guys with your ridiculous facial hair, like, shave.
Hey, no, don't be hating, bro. It's cold up here.
I can grow a nice beard. Come on. Give me a little bit of credit. I have a pretty solid beard for a kid my age.
Yeah, I gotta go hunt some caribou every morning. So, you know, I'm gonna have as much of a beard as I got.
Both of you guys don't want to look like you're 11. I know that's the real situation.
Yeah, if I shave, Chris, I go from, like, maybe looking 18 to, like 9.
Yeah. I go from not getting ID'd to getting ID'd even if I don't go into the liquor store.
Dalton goes from not having a girlfriend to not having a girlfriend.
Hey, just because it's true doesn't mean you should say it.
All right, boys. Then later tonight, the Edmonton Oilers play the LA Kings. No, the Vegas Golden Knights. The Golden Knights play in Edmonton for round 2. Dalton, we will start with you.
It's going to be a big 3-1 Oilers victory.
A 3-1 win. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say close games have been the way of it. I'm going to say it's going to be back and forth. It's going to be a 4-3 Oilers win.
Ooh.
Chris, what do you think?
For the love of everything holy, please beat those stupid, stinky Vegas Knights. God, I hate them so much. 9-1 Oilers.
9-0.
They just disband the whole franchise at the end of the game.
I will say this. If Chris is right, we might have to, like, pay him money or something.
Yeah, that's a crazy one.
They sit outside Rogers Center after the game, and they just part out the fucking team. They just sell everything because they don't want to continue.
All right. Then trudging forward, the Jets have a back-to-back. They play they're actually doing the New York or New York area road trip. They play the New York Rangers on Sunday, tomorrow. I will start this one off. I'm going to say back-to-backs, Rangers. Oh, man. See, the Rangers are so weird because sometimes Lundqvist is good and then sometimes he's not. I'm going to say Jets win 5-2.
Wow. Big win.
Well, I mean, I'm predicting Lundqvist is just going to be bad and he's just not going to be able to stop the young whippersnappers, the young snipers.
Yeah. You know what? Is it my turn next?
Yeah, Dalton, go.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pretty much agree with you here, but I'm going to pick a 4-1 victory for the Jets.
4-1 Jets win. Chris?
Oh, my God. So, first of all, Hellestuck is in, so God knows what's going to happen there. And then also, you know the Jets are going to go into New York and like be drinking all night in Manhattan. So
Manhattan, probably.
Probably. So honestly, I feel like the Rangers are going to win 3-1.
Wow.
All right.
So little faith in Hellebuck right now.
Oh, he's just looked so bad, dude.
Yeah, he has. And it's been hurting. It's been hurting my fantasy team. The Oilers roll into Dallas to play them for the second time in a week. Chris, we'll start with you this time. The Oilers beat Dallas 1-0 their last outing. Now they're playing in Dallas. What do you think?
I don't know. I really wish the Oilers would play better consistently, but I just don't see it right now. This is tough. This is really, really tough because Ben and Sagan can just roast teams.
Yep, they're freaking lit, dude.
Man, I don't know. I hate to say it, but I want to say it's going to be like a 4-1 Dallas win.
How could you? Gross, gross. Dalton, go.
It's going to be a 3-1 Oilers victory.
I feel like I'm seeing a pattern here, Dalton.
What? Did I say that for like every game so far?
No.
But for am I just anti-Chris in every game so far?
Honestly, you're not too far off on those assessments. All right, I'm going to say roll on to Dallas. Koskinen's going to start. He's going to have Jamie Benn and that whole line's number, and they're not going to score. I'm going to say Koskinen wins 4-2, but... Mm. So 4-2 win, and then my stipulation on the game is that top line of Ben, Sagan, Radulov, 0 points.
Oh, that's going to hurt me in fantasy.
Oh, really?
Oh, I think I have Sagan and Ben.
Oh, wow.
Well, you're stupid. Oh, wow.
Don't be hating, bro.
All right.
How good Ben and Sagan are, and then I'm speaking you for no reason.
Because you got it.
Fifth game of the week. Then on Tuesday, Jets roll into Brooklyn to take on the New York Islanders, who are slowly sliding from their hot start. Dalton, we'll start with you.
It's going to be a Jets victory, 4-0.
Hey, Dalton, can I tell you how much I love you?
Okay, Dalton, who gets a shutout?
It's going to be Hellebuck.
Ooh, Helly with the shutout. Oh, I hope
no shots.
I hope so because that will help me out.
You're welcome, Michael. I'm just making everyone love me today. What can I say?
All right, so then I will go. I'm gonna say this is actually gonna be the game that gets away from the Jets. I don't think they're gonna win the all three of the New York trip, so I'm gonna say the Islanders are gonna win this one. 4-2.
Does Jordan Eberle get a Hattie?
Jordan Eberle does not get a Hattie, but that would be fun, though. Actually, I'd like to give a quick shout out to Shayson and Kadula that have more goals this season combined than Eberle and I believe Hall.
Wow, look at that. Expected, 100%.
Yep.
Hey, New Jersey, want to trade Chaisson for Hall? Please? We'll even throw in Lucci.
Ooh, trade, yeah. All right, Chris, yeah. Islanders game. What do you think?
So, first of all, the bigger question is can anyone explain the New York Islanders?
They're bad.
But I don't know, why? Why?
They lost Jonathan Tavares.
They actively employ Robin Leonard.
I don't understand that team. Like, I always see promise in their roster, and they always look like they might do something, and then they never do. Like, it's weird. But I digress, actually. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Jets ever play the Islanders very well, particularly, and I don't understand that either. So, unfortunately, I'm going to say the Jets are going to lose this one 3-2.
I did not expect to be the odd man out in this game.
All right, moving right along. The Minnesota – no, just kidding. On Friday, the first game of I can't read my own writing. On Wednesday, the Oilers play St. Louis at home. I'll start this one off. St. Louis, bad goaltending. Oilers win 5-3. Chris.
Oh, my God. Their goaltending is so bad. It's awesome. I mean, who do you pick? Like, who do you want in net? Like, each one of them, you can just – Jake Allen is awful. Who's the other
Chad
guy?
Chad Johnson.
He's awful.
Yeah, that's right.
He's so bad I didn't even remember his name. That's how bad he is. I really want to see the Oilers feast on these guys. I have nothing against St. Louis personally, but it's just fun to watch them suck. So I'm going to say 6-3 Oilers.
All right. I like it. All right. Dalton?
I'm going to go with a solid 6-1 victory for the Oilers with a Ty Ratty hat trick.
Wow.
Are you high?
Hey, that's legal here.
All right. Then on Friday, the Winnipeg Jets return home to play the the Oilers just played the St. Louis Blues.
Free spot. That's the bingo free spot right there.
The bingo free. All right, Chris, we'll start with you because I have a feeling what you're going to predict.
Well, I don't know, man, because, I don't know about the Jets right now. With their, propensity to blow third-period leads, I'm just hoping Coughlin's back. And I'm hoping that, Hellebuyck remembers how to play goal. I think they're going to win, but are they going to win, 5-4, or are they going to win, 5-1? Oh. I'm going to say 5-1.
5-1, all right. All by line A, I'm assuming.
All by line A, and Brassois is going to play, and Brassois is going to stay in his goddamn net.
Oh. And he's going to get the 6th goal.
Wow. all right, so then last game of the week.
I don't think me or you said for that one.
Oh, you're totally right. You're totally right. Dalton, go.
Wow. I'm going to say a Blues 3-2 victory.
Wow.
3-2. I can't pick the Jets win every game this week, all right? I picked them too many times.
St. Louis, goaltending very bad. I'm going to say the Jets are going to win not as much as they did the last time, but we'll say 4-3. And then last game of the week, the Oilers play Minnesota at home. Dalton, we'll start with you.
It's going to be a 1-0 Oilers victory.
And I'm assuming Koskinen with the shutout?
I think no matter what, this game is going to be 1-0 for either team. But I'm going to – let's go with the Koskinen shutout.
Yeah.
I also think it's going to be a pretty boring game to watch, not going to lie.
Well, it's Minnesota.
Yeah, they're a defensive team, and now I guess the Oilers are too, so.
Yeah, I guess so. Chris?
So honestly, I feel like the bubble for Minnesota is going to burst. I don't think they're a bad team, but I definitely don't think they're as good as their record indicates. I think the Oilers will show them how to score some goals. I think it's going to be like 5-3.
5-3 win. All right. I feel like I'm going to go against the Oilers here for the first time. I'm going to say it's going to be a 2 overtime loss.
An OT loss? Are you high?
Okay, no, I can't. All right. No. Shootout.
There we go. That's shootout.
Shootout loss.
The Oilers haven't been in a shootout yet this year.
They have not.
That McDavid jersey that McDavid shirt that I bought you, Mike, I'm actually going to send it to Dalton instead because he's obviously a better Oilers fan than you.
Thank you. Oh, I'm hurt. All right, boys. Well, that does it for episode 8 of South of the Blue Line. You can find us on Spotify, on SoundCloud, on YouTube, on Anchor. Look for the Anchor ad read because we're trying to make some money.
We're gonna start a bingo next week. It's gonna be great.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South, and anywhere else you can find your podcast. Another solid episode, boys, and I will. I guess we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. I'll see you later.
Good times, boys.
So, yeah. David is the free spot.